Good morning. It is so good to be home. I can't even begin to tell you. With all my heart, it has been a week from hell. And I think right now, so don't anybody get close to me. I haven't shaved. I've been on the plane all night and got right here after the plane, played with my dogs. Rex peed, and so this is what you got. But today, we celebrate Trinity Sunday. And the gospel is so phenomenal when it focuses on this, that God so loved the world. You know, this week as I flew into San Francisco, I did a men's conference on Saturday, then I did a parish mission, then I did another men's conference up in Portland, Oregon. And it was just bad. I mean, I had so many people. The first conference, I sat there and I spoke. A lot of conversions happened. God called me the Antichrist. It sat there and I would sit there and say, because it was just a sad thing, because I start getting these emails yesterday and say, Father, you're one of the few celebrity priests left. We're worried about you. And I said, celebrity priest. Anyway, but the reality is, so we're praying for you and different things. I know, okay. And I says, but for me, and this is the true story, I will never go down because of some sexual scandal. It's not my thing. I have problems with intimacy, in case you're wondering. My thing will be, I said something stupid, right? Everybody, don't write so fast over there. Yeah, right, Father? Right, Father? It was like, oh, thank you for agreeing so quite easily. But that's exactly what it is. So I have to keep saying, I am not infallible. I say stupid things. It's all part of the reality. There's only one infallible person in the world today. Who's that? The Pope, and only sometimes when everything he says is infallible. So we're all open to this. But what I was thinking about is people are out there that are always looking for division. That are always trying to stir division. That are always sitting there thinking, okay, what is it right here? And we bring in this stuff. And so the first night of the mission, because this place was, again, the people were very holy, good people. But one group was an ultra-traditionalist, that they all wear remember those things, doilies? What do you call those things? Mantis? Whatever. So you had those people that had Latin Mass, and those Latin Mass people didn't like the English Mass people because there in English, and then you have two community, a big Mexican community there, and so things were in Spanish. The priest is one of the hardest workers you'd ever want to meet in your life, and having all this. But my first night, I says, I think that the very place we're called to have unity, I see great division here. And it's not just there, it happens here with us too. It happens everywhere. That when people don't pray the way we pray, we judge them. And see, what happens is, when we come to the very Mass and we participate, I don't know if anybody got the first reading today. Not the first reading, but the opening prayer. According to the opening prayer, where is the Trinity revealed? In us? Isn't that something? It says your Trinity, the Trinity of God, is revealed inside of us. And so, is there any division in the Trinity? None. The Trinity is the community of love forever. They never looked for division. When Christ came and prayed and he wanted us to be one of the Trinity, he said, Father, may they be one. So the very place that most expresses unity on this earth is where? The Mass. And so whenever we sit there and we start instilling our own views on the Mass, and we start saying, well, those people who don't speak in tongues, or those people who don't pray Latin, or those people who don't kneel when they go to communion, or those people who don't receive communion on their tongue, or those people who and we bring sin into the very center of the unity that God has created us for. And so we got to sit, and I do it. Nobody here does it, I know, but everybody else, just me and these other people I talk to, that we sit there and we bring division to the body because always of our judgment. And our judgment, we always think, is correct, right? And we'll follow our laws, and we'll pick the liturgical norms, and we'll look at our canon law, and we'll look at it and say, see, I'm right, and everybody else is wrong. Ah! What does that got to do with anything? Like when I was called in and they were talking about, well, Father, you know, because it was about something sexual I said about, but it was a true statement, according most people agree. He said, well, maybe you shouldn't just say that kind of stuff. And I said, well, I gotta. It's a men's conference. We gotta deal with these things. And I said, why is there only people that if I say nothing against the teaching of the church, but they don't agree with it, then they start putting out things like it was, like I was the Antichrist again. I've got those letters before. But I was just so overwhelmed with division when we don't agree with each other. And it's not just out there. It just became... And it was. I was wondering. I was so oppressed. I asked the people on the one night. I said, I've never been oppressed anywhere in my parish missions ever except for this parish, the way I have been. And it's a small parish in the middle of... It's almond country. It's where they make all the almonds. There's almond fields everywhere. I said, I've never experienced this that I've had to experience here. And I said, so you've got to pray for me because I don't know what was the devil coming at me. And as this was happening, I'm thinking, why? And then I heard confessions. 45 years since her last confession. 38 years since her last confession. People were saved from hell. And so the devil threw everything at me and everything at all of us to try to keep the vision and try not to let healing happen. You see where this comes from? When we speak division, when we speak judgment, when we talk about why I am right and everybody else is wrong, and I don't like the way they sing, and I don't like the way they pray, and I don't like those people that go to that mass, and I don't like... That's always sin. And it should never be brought into the very center of the holiest of God at the mass. Did you hear the gospel? When we celebrate Trinity, forever and ever and ever, the Trinity is a community of love with no division. Never is there division in the Trinity. And because the Holy Spirit, if the Trinity is revealed in us, we must be people that even if we disagree, and that's when I said to the one person, you know, even if you disagree, you can sit there and say, I have dedicated my whole life to preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. So you can say, Father, I don't agree with you with that. Can we talk about it? Yes. Not, Father, I think you're a heretic. You're wrong in what you're doing. You're leading people astray. You're a nutcase. You got it? It's just that reality. So I'm just as bad as everybody else. But that ain't what God wants. You hear the gospel? What a beautiful gospel, right? It says, for God so loved the world that he sent his only son, anyone who believes in him may not die but have everlasting life. But the next line, do you get it? God did not send his son to condemn the world but to save it. How about us? Are we in this following of Jesus? How often do we to condemn the world and condemn those who don't see things our way? How unlike God that is. He did not send his son to condemn the world, but to save it. If we are members of Jesus Christ, if the Trinity is revealed inside of us, then we must not be people who are here to condemn the world. God so loved the world. And we think it's a big thing when we hate the world. You got to hate the sins of the world, but you never hate the people of the world. You got that? You see how that has to be manifested if we're going to live the Trinity? That we must sit there and make it in our lives. And me, more than any of you, I know it. Don't sit there and think, well, Father, you should listen to what you preach. I'm trying. But I'm not going to not preach it. God's telling me, he's telling you, that we are not here to condemn the world. We are here to save it. And so that has to happen in our individual judgments, in the way we sit there and we put things on people, and when they don't pray the way we do, or they don't think the way we do, we condemn them, we think they're evil, instead of loving them and helping them come to union. This is the way of the Trinity. And this must be the way of the Trinity's community on earth. And it must be the way each of us decides to live our lives. If God did not come to condemn the world, but to save it. Who are we to condemn the world? Remember when Jesus, and they talk about who is the one who stands before God and condemns us? Satan. So when you and I come before God and we condemn others, we take the role of Satan in our lives. We are the accusers. That's what the devil does before God. He accuses us. Who saves us in the midst of that accusation? The Paraclete. What's the Paraclete? He's the Holy Spirit that comes to our defense. So, here it is, people. When we condemn people, when we accuse people, when we do that, we stand in the place of Satan in the Scriptures. When we love people, when we're trying to save people, when we're trying to bring unity, we reflect the Trinity who lives inside of us. Now, people, that does never mean we don't say what's wrong about sin and what sin is. But it's a big difference to condemn sin than to condemn the person. And we all do it. I do it. You do it. And we all got us learn to stop. When we come to the depths of our heart and know it is not God's will for you and me to condemn or accuse, our job is to bring unity in the body. Then we'll start having a change of heart. And then we'll start reflecting the Trinity in the way we live. Got it? Get it? Gonna live it? Oh, let's try. May each of you know His love today and forever. Amen.